buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show. When you have a high temperature in the low 90s for early June, Tom, as they say, we'll take it, won't we?
So far, this has been the summer that we always hoped we'd get.
The one we didn't even think was possible.
Yes, and let's ride this one as long as we can.
Buckmaster on a midweek edition, Wednesday, June 7th, 2023. The show, 12 and a half years of the radio program in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Also the place for every show, pretty much, we have done over the last 12 and a half years. Lots of podcasts there, lots of content. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we check in with the Democratic Congressman, Councilman from Ward 6, Steve Kasachek, and we have a special guest also with us on the live line. Heidi Kujawa is with us. She's the CEO of Bifusion. That's the plastic recycling program that Councilman Kasachek kind of started, and we've been telling our listeners about it, Councilman, for the last couple of months. Before we introduce and bring Heidi into the conversation, give us a quick overview, if you will, Steve, of what's at stake here.
Absolutely. We are 8 months-ish into what began as a pilot program where we were just sort of testing the waters to see if the community had an interest in taking non-recyclable plastics, getting them out of the waste stream, and putting them to a productive use. We had set sort of a random goal of between August and the end of the year of seeing whether or not the community would bring us 20 tons of the stuff. We are now over 105 tons of the stuff that the community is bringing through, and that's 105 tons of candy wrappers and bubble wrap, not 105 tons of concrete. So we have signed a service agreement with Bifusion. They right now operate out of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles area, and the city is looking at a facility for Bifusion where they can set up shop, move their operation. They're not leaving LA, but they're moving and standing up a new operation in Tucson. And that's the goal, is to get the non-recyclable plastics out of the ocean, the landfill, and the side of the road, and get them into construction projects here locally in Tucson. And Heidi and her team have been absolutely stellar partners in this throughout. And it's just really great to have her here in Tucson today to do a walkthrough of a potential facility and really talk about the deal points moving forward.
All right, Heidi, let's bring you into the conversation. Great to talk with you. What do you like about the Tucson project, Heidi?
Hi, thanks so much for having me on today. It's great to be here. And, you know, there's so many things I love about the project. But the most important thing that I love about the project is the community and the relationship that government has with the community. I think I've never seen such an incredible partnership between government and people, with the value system and action so very much aligned. That's really inspiring and really gets me excited to come and set up shop here.
So, Heidi, give us a little overview about Bifusion. What's the chronology of your company?
Well, I know we only have a short amount of time, so I'll try to keep it brief.
Yeah, real short, please.
We started in 2017 on trying to develop a technology that was focused entirely on the non-recyclable plastic waste. So I'm sure that a lot of your listeners have heard the storyline around, you know, only about 8% of plastic waste gets recycled on an annual basis. And so we said, well, let's focus on the 92%. Like, what can we do with that? So we've been focused on developing a technology that addresses that particular waste stream. And I come from a construction background, so I'm very familiar with some of the challenges we see with building material volatility and lack of skilled labor and just the inaccessibility from a price perspective on green building materials. And so I thought, I wonder if we could use this plastic waste problem to solve for some of the things and challenges we see on the construction side. And so we got to work. And really happy to be here. And we've gone through a ton of different iterations on the tech, but we're ready for scale and expansion, which is why, you know, one of the things we're talking to Tucson about, obviously. and it's been a great journey. And more importantly, just the amount of versatility that this building material offers to the construction and built environment has also just been really wonderful to see. We've done things from very artful things all the way to big structures, and so I'm excited about the progress we've made on the build side too.
All right, let's bring the councilman Steve Kasacek back into the conversation. Over the 8 months, this thing has really taken off. What are the points now where people can, what material is being accepted and where, Steve Kasacek?
It's pretty simple menu. If it's plastic, we'll use it. And we, the Ward 6 office right now is gathering just under 4 tons a week. There are two other locations. One is a fire station out on Mission Road, and the other one is the Ward 4 office out on the far east side. So we have 3 drop-off locations. They're all open 24/7. And if you stood out behind the Ward 6 office, literally for 20 minutes, you'd have 4 or 5 cars drive by. People have so completely bought into this. And I talk to people every day about it. And to a person, their response is somewhere in the sentence is the word finally, or I'm relieved, because people recognize that, as Heidi likes to say, and she's right, plastic's not a bad commodity. It's just that we don't manage it well. We've identified a way to manage it well. And I can tell you also that right now, as we speak, there is a construction project happening up in Flagstaff where a guy is using these blocks to build a 600-square-foot home. We have several projects in the queue. Our immediate challenge, though, right now is to identify a location for BioFusion to set up shop in Tucson so that we can begin the processing and the production and fabrication of the construction material here locally. That's where we are. And again, this community has just been absolutely amazing in delivering the message to us in no uncertain terms that they want this here. And they want to be a part, a local part of an international problem.
Heidi Kujawa, I want to ask you, Heidi is the CEO of BioFusion, the plastics recycling program. So you get the material from Tucson, the folks drop the material off. The process then, simply put, how does the process work? And are these materials, these building blocks, are they pretty darn sturdy? I mean, they're being used, as Steve pointed out, in a housing project.
Yeah, and the process to manufacture the blocks out of the raw material is very simple. I mean, that was one of the things that was important to us, is to make sure that we had a very simple manufacturing process. So the great thing about our technology is that it only uses plastic waste. There's no additives or fillers or glues or other things that we need to put in with the plastic waste. I like to say often, like, you eat your lunch, you throw it in the machine, you make a block, you stick it in a wall. I mean, it's really, really that simple, which allows us to process a lot, right? So we're a zero-waste process. 22 pounds of plastic makes a 22-pound block. And our blocks, because of the simplicity of our process, produces 83% less greenhouse gas emissions than a normal cement CMU. So I'm really proud about that, too. From a structural perspective, we're continuing to make advancements on the structural integrity, but it falls very squarely in line with the hollow cement block today. So wherever you see a cement block, is for the most case, you can swap that out with a bi block. And the better thing about it is, from a design and architectural perspective, you don't necessarily need to change the aesthetic of the project to match it. So the aesthetic and the cladding, the blocks can accept anything from stucco to siding to stone to tile to drywall to corrugated metal sheets. Like, you can screw right into this stuff. So it allows for a lot of flexibility on the design side of your structures, too.
Well, it sounds like it is a win-win for all of us, Steve Kasacek. The expansion, we've talked a little bit about it. It continues to grow. How the council is on board. What about Pima County government, other Pima County governmental entities?
Yeah, I have been in touch with Jan Lesher as recently as over the weekend. They really want to be a part of this. I get calls every day from people in Oro Valley and Marana, Green Valley, all over the region. And we want them on board. We want them to be a part of this. Our challenge right now, our immediate focus is getting the, it's called a multi-diversion platform. It's the machine that makes the blocks. Getting the facility ready here in Tucson for bifusion so they can, we can start producing them here. We have about a 70-ton pile of this stuff sitting waiting for us to continue processing. So we're sort of telling people we want your involvement. We want you to keep bringing this stuff. As far as expansion is concerned, we have to kind of pause until we've got the blocker here in Tucson, and we have the ability locally to do the processing and the fabrication. We are not going to run out of the stuff, sadly, but it's a reality that we live in. I've had people come out and say, instead of doing this, you ought to be promoting an international treaty to ban all plastics. Mm. Well, that's nice. even if it happened, we wouldn't run out of this stuff for the next five decades anyway. And so we're trying to do that. We're trying to put this to a productive use. Pima County, directly to your question, Pima County is standing ready to join arm in arm on this as soon as we're ready to do the expansion. And that day is coming not soon enough in my world and in Heidi's as well.
All right, Heidi Kujawa, we're going to let you go. We've got some more with Steve Kasacek. Heidi, CEO of Bifusion, good luck. I hope you have a successful tour here of Tucson and find a location. Thank you for the update for our listeners, Heidi. Thanks.
You bet. Thanks so much.
All right, Steve Kasacek, stick around. I've got some more for you right after the break. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. Be right back with Councilman Steve Kasacek.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster Midweek Edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, zocalovillage.com. They're over at 3384 East River Road. We love Green Things. So many beautiful green things on their 13-acre site. Everything you need for the garden. Get ready before the summer rains begin. Get some beautiful color all ready to go into your garden. Our live line, our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Ward 6 Democrat Steve Kasachek with us on our live line. And we thank Heidi Kujawa from Bifusion, the plastics recycling program, the CEO there of Bifusion. She's in Tucson looking at sites, and this is really an exciting project, Steve, and I thank you very much for making that possible that we could share what's on Heidi's mind with our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the listeners really should recognize that the city of Tucson, without hype, we are the first city in the world who is taking a program such as this and scaling it up to the point where we are going to be taking, already we've got over 100 tons of non-recyclable plastic out of the waste stream and putting it into a productive use here in the community. And no other city in the world is doing this right now. We're going to be the first. But I can tell you this, I know Chicago, I know Lynchburg, Virginia, I know Phoenix, I know major cities all over the country have got their eye on this. In fact, I was on an email exchange with a woman up in Phoenix earlier this morning, and she wants to learn about how this program goes.
Very nice.
I mean, walk through our department store or one of the big boxes sometime and look on the aisles. Every single thing that is on those aisles is made out of plastic or packaged in plastic. And we can use it. Otherwise, it does not belong in the blue bin, and it's going to go right to the landfill or to the side of the road. So it's great that the community has really clearly delivered the message that they want to be a part of this.
All right. We've got Mike Ortega, the city manager. Mike will sit down with us on Friday. We'll take a deep dive into the budget. But I want you to talk a little bit about the latest on the water and sustainability issues in Tucson, please.
Well, we know that we're in a drought. We are in a drought. It's not ending anytime soon. The fact is that we got a reprieve because last winter, the Sierras in Nevada, California, had a large snowpack, and so we know that that reprieve is not forever. In fact, it's probably not for more than a year. So that we have got to get more serious about conservation efforts in the city of Tucson. Last night, we identified two small pieces of low-hanging fruit. One is to require water sense low-flow fixtures on any new development. Low-hanging fruit because the vast majority of new construction is using that kind of fixture anyway. But we just made it a mandatory starting now. Any new development has to use those low flow fixtures. And secondly, is that we are initiating a ban on ornamental turf. And ornamental turf is not parks, not golf courses, not schoolyards, but the kind of like an 8 or 10 foot strip in a right of way outside of a shopping center, little pieces of ground that people have to water that don't get any functional use. We're saying no mas, not in Tucson, not going forward. And so we adopted those last night. We are looking at other conservation measures. But really, the city of Tucson residents are our leaders statewide, nationwide in terms of conservation. We're using per capita approximately right now what we did 20 years ago. But the reality on the Colorado River is not anything close to what it was 20 years ago. The Bureau of Reclamation is working with a CAP board to come up with reductions in our allocations off of the Colorado River. We've already taken a voluntary reduction, but that's really only good until 2026. We knew the second we signed on to that voluntary reduction a couple of weeks ago, that was simply checking a box, but the work has to continue because it's an all new world on the Colorado River, and you know, we're going to have to do with less, and that's just our reality.
All right, I want to carve out a few minutes for Donovan Durbin. Donovan was really somebody that I first met, I think, at least 20, 25 years ago, and he was certainly a pioneer as far as he was right there on ground zero in the whole Tucson downtown revitalization projects.
I first met Donovan in 2008, 2009, and it became immediately clear that Donovan had a passion for downtown revitalization. I mean, if you rewind the tape 15 years, people didn't want to walk around downtown. It wasn't safe. There was no development going on, and it was as dark and dingy. Fast forward to now. We have a lot of activity going on downtown. Part of that is due to the success of the current Rio Nuevo board. Part of it is due to a strong partnership and relationship between the city and the county. But Donovan's name has to be included in any conversation about successful revitalization of the downtown core. And I would throw into that the success of Fourth Avenue and then the main gate area outside the university. Donovan worked in my office for a few years after I was first elected in 2009. He transitioned over to, at the time it was called Parkwise, as their main administrator, now called Park Tucson. And one of the values of that for Donovan and for the community was that he continued to be immediately and directly engaged with all the development that was and is continuing to happen in the entertainment district in and around downtown. I have been in touch with his wife, Erin, several times. Donovan passed away in his sleep on Saturday night. It was sudden. It was shocking. Nobody would have anticipated it. His wife, Erin, is right now surrounded by family, both hers and Donovan's. We are working out the details of a memorial celebration for Donovan. It will be in a downtown venue, and it will be within the next 30 days. But I've told Erin, this is going to happen in your time, not ours. No one's pushing. No one's rushing. And you pick up the phone and you call when you're ready to have the conversation. She has done that a few times. We're very close to being able to announce a date and a time and a location. But it was just a devastating loss. And I'm grateful to you for even bringing it up on the show. I am grateful to the many, many, many community members who have reached out by phone and by email and by text in the last couple of days, expressing their sense of admiration for Donovan and sense of loss for what this community will suffer as a result of him passing away.
Well, I was just shocked when I saw Erin put this on Facebook about his passing over the weekend, and I did not know it was in his sleep. It was totally unexpected, but it's really shocking. We all, whoever's nearest you right now, give them a big hug, because life can change, and I don't really want to get into something personal, but life really changed for me today, and life can change in an instant, Steve.
You're right, and I was avoiding your personal issue as well, but I do want to say to people in the audience, people in the public eye are, we've got our families too, we've got our lives too, and we've got loved ones around us too, and stuff happens, and yet we are expected to, to soldier up and to stand in front of people and microphones and act as though it weren't happening. That's not always the case. And so high marks to you, Bill, and high marks to Erin for toughing this out. It is very, very difficult.
Could you quickly give us, Steve, an update? And as I mentioned, we're going to have Mike Ortega give us the deep dive in the budget. Do you like the budget? Do you like the spending plan?
Yeah, we approved it last night unanimously. The city benefited significantly throughout COVID from federal dollars. We are still benefiting from those federal dollars, but that money has got an expiration date on it. It's gonna run out soon, and so any plans that we put in place, we have to draw the distinction between one-time dollars and long-term investments. We know that we have to staff up at the police force. We know that we have to staff up environmental services, our transportation department. Staffing is a huge issue for us right now, and not just for the city of Tucson. Staffing it's a nationwide issue in certain occupations that they're just difficult to fill right now for whatever reason. And so that's our number one challenge, is making sure we have adequate staffing to provide the services to the community that they deserve and they expect. But as far as our budget is concerned, it's built around that, and it's built around the fact that we gave raises to keep people. We are making changes in work environments, remote work and that kind of thing to keep people. But if I had to pick one challenge budgetarily going forward, it's going to be that. It's going to be staffing up and finding long-term ways to continue to fill that that budget need once the federal dollars expire.
Steve Kasachek, always a pleasure. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate not only what you do as a politician, but I appreciate your friendship as well, my friend.
Likewise. Thank you very much, Bill.
All right. We'll pause right here midway through the Buckmaster Show, and we've got Karen Caesar with our CAP Water Report right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Once a quarter here on the program, we talk about what I believe is Arizona's most important resource. Without it, we're in trouble. We're talking about water. Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us in studio for her quarterly visit to the program, Karen Caesar, Pima County's representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Karen, always a pleasure to see you.
And always a pleasure to be here, Bill.
Hey, so you've got a new member of the CAWCD.
Yes, we do. We're very excited. His name is Justin Manuel, and he was sworn in just last week at our June board meeting. we're very happy to have him. Justin is the Assistant Director of Water Resources for the Tohono O'odham Nation and a member of the Tohono O'odham Nation. He's a fellow Wildcat, earning his bachelor's degree in geological engineering and a master's degree in mining, geological, and geophysical engineering from the University of Arizona. So he's excited to get to work. We're excited to welcome him and complete having four board members again. And we think he's going to be a terrific addition.
And he replaces someone that a lot of us know are new in this community, a big loss.
Yes, yeah. He did. He did replace Marie Perthry, who resigned in January and sadly passed away from cancer earlier this year. And we all miss her. But I would like to share that in her honor, the board was able to make a significant personal donation to the Marie S. Perthry Summer Research Scholarship at the University of Arizona. And we thought that any of your listeners who knew Marie mm-hmm. would like to know about the scholarship and doing something so her life's passion and work can be continued in others.
That's great news. Thank you, Karen, for letting our listeners know. Okay, everybody's wondering, what's the latest on the Colorado River front?
Well, there's been lots of news, Bill, as you know, and this time I'm happy to sit here and say I've got good news.
Really? Good.
Right?
I could use that.
Mm-hmm. It's been some of my last reports have maybe not been as positive. The lower basin states, and your listeners will remember, that's Arizona, California, and Nevada, have come together and submitted a consensus proposal to the Bureau of Reclamation that would conserve historic volumes of Colorado River water in Lake Mead. And that's always been our yardstick for shortage and the health of the system.
3 million, I'm hearing?
Three million. Yes.
Wow. Three million acre feet in Lake Mead over 3 years.
Yes, whoa. It is very significant. And what's exciting about this, too, is this proposal is front-loaded, meaning the first 1.5 million acre feet, or half of that volume, will be conserved in the lake by the end of 2024. And based on the latest hydrologic modeling in the basin, this is expected to have an immediate impact on the stability of the Colorado River system, which we've been tracking and worrying about and trying to, figure out what actions and steps can be taken to help. And this is really significant.
Did I hear the word stability?
Yes, you did. I know we haven't heard that word for a while.
No.
We've been, like I said, the models have shown, lake levels plummeting, very, very dire situations potentially coming to pass on the Colorado River. And I will say, the people that plan water can't just look at those projections and cross their fingers and hope we get a winter like we have. All the plans and all the work to address it's a literal definition of hope mm-hmm. for the best, but prepare for the worst. And we've done both. So this proposal will be analyzed by the Department of Interior, the Bureau of Reclamation, under the NEPA, or the National Environmental Policy Act. And we will expect their findings sometime this fall.
That'd be good. And we do want to say that we just heard our councilman, Steve Kasachek, talking about what City of Tucson is doing to conserve water here in the city.
Yeah, and that, pardon me.
That's okay.
That was a big announcement. I was able to attend the City of Tucson and Bureau of Reclamation signing ceremony a couple weeks ago in Tucson, and that was really celebrating the City of Tucson and Metro Water's commitment to leave significant portions of their CAP water in Lake Mead through 2025. And those amounts left in Lake Mead are amounts that were used by City of Tucson and Metro Water. This isn't just extra water and they're leaving it. This represents significant changes to how they're receiving water or not receiving water and being able to leave it in the lake. And this water counts toward our ultimate commitment to leave that 3 million acre feet in the lake.
Well, we're going to hear a lot more about the Colorado River situation in the coming days. What's this I hear about a new leadership position for you?
Well, um, one of the things that happened at the beginning of the year is we have board elections, and I was elected to be board secretary. Right. And one of the roles and responsibilities of that position is chairing the CAGRD, or the Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment District and Underground Storage Committee. And while we've been talking about the Colorado River and shortage and how we're going to stabilize the Colorado River system, the CAGRD has also been embarking on a very important effort that is, you know, really almost as important as the Colorado River to our three county service area.
They have to update something every 10 years, don't they?
Yes. What the CAGRD does is it replenishes water on behalf of our customers who need to have a 100-year assured water supply for their developments, and they can take their groundwater, but we then go replenish that amount of groundwater on their behalf. They pay CAGRD, we replenish the water. I describe it as paying back the aquifer. This isn't water banking for the future. This is paying back the aquifer. This water stays in and remains as part of the aquifer where it's recharged. And every 10 years, the CAGRD is required by the Department of Water Resources to submit a plan of operation for their review and approval. And this plan is intended to explain how much water we think we're going to need, where it's going to come from, and see how we're going to do this on behalf of our CAGRD members. And so, you know, it really lays out, that we know what we're doing in the next 10 years.
And did you update the website with more information about this?
Yes, and it's a complicated and kind of a another whole factor. And also, the CAGRD is not, even though it says the Groundwater Replenishment District, it's just a special function of CAP. Financially, it's separate from CAP. Again, in order to, you know, further information and transparency and get the information out there, we've updated our website with lots of information on what's going on in the timeline of developing this very important plan. So the CAGRD has a lot going on this year.
Go ahead.
Well, we're going to be developing groundwater replenishment obligation projections, which is a fancy way of saying, you know, how much water do we have to replenish? We're going to be engaging with our CAG water providers to refine those projections. So we work very closely with our stakeholders. What do they think they're going to need? What do they think they're going to be withdrawing from the aquifer this year? Because that has an impact on that. And then we need to go out and identify planned or potentially available water supplies to meet this obligation. And all of this is done with a lot of stakeholder input.
And what's this about rebates?
Well, this is interesting. One of the things that CAGRD is really doing is helping promote water conservation. Councilmember Kosagic just talked about the importance of conservation. I'm always happy to say Tucson is really leading the country in how to do water conservation and manage water resources. One of the things that is available through the CAGRD is a rebate to home builders as part of our water efficient conservation incentive. And that provides $1,000 for each WaterSense labeled home. Now, just yesterday, we heard the city of Tucson voted to require that new homes within the city of Tucson are WaterSense homes. So right there, any of those homes that are now saying, you know, we are now mandated by the city to do this can pivot right around and apply for a $1,000 per home rebate from the CAGRD. So winning all the way around on that.
Quickly running out of time here, but is there anything else conservation related that you'd like to share with our listeners, Karen?
Yes. Along the lines of kind of technology and sharing information, our GIS gurus have found themselves in a project where they're trying to put together, there's a lot of water conservation resources, multiple jurisdictions. It can be very confusing. So one of the things that we're trying to do is help just the average homeowner person navigate that for where they live, and putting together the resources to get that water conservation information, along with looking at things like vegetation coverage and how can we prioritize water conservation, but still make sure we're protecting our green infrastructure.
So what's that project going to do?
Well, they're going to be out there, and they're going to be using some aerial imaging data and data from the Department of Agriculture to start looking at different vegetation types. But it's going to go a little deeper. It's going to really start to distinguish between high water using things such as grass, maybe, or higher water use plants, and lower water use plants and things. And so with that information, we're trying to, like I said, gather the information. Where are there more opportunities to conserve? Where are we doing good? But always, like I said, as a landscape architect, reminding, you know, everybody that while we want to save water and conserve outdoor water use, we can't do it at the expense of, you know, chucking all of our green infrastructure. We still need plants in our environment for many, many reasons. And so it's always a balancing act to make sure that we get that and use the appropriate amount of water to do so.
As you mentioned, you are a landscaped architect, and you are a good one, and this technology is amazing, isn't it, right?
Yes.
Now?
Well, thank you, and it is. And there's, you know, the technology to do these sort of things is becoming more and more available, and more people are figuring out really nifty things to do with it.
Where do you want to point our listeners? What website?
Always, there's the knowyourwaternews.com website, and you can even sign up for updates. It'll land right in your email inbox. Lots of infographics. There's so much good information there. We're trying to figure out, for example, if you want to learn more about Lake Powell, we have a new Glen Canyon Dam infographic, and it really can explain a lot more of what's... We talk a lot about Lake Mead, but Lake Powell is just as important to our Colorado River system. And in fact, I had an opportunity to visit up there a couple weeks ago and tour the dam, and it is just amazing. It's what a piece of infrastructure. And also want to note that in May, thanks to the good winter, Lake Powell was rising at an average of a foot a day.
Good.
And if you know how
good.
Big Lake Powell is,
yeah,
that's a lot of water.
That is. And river updates, you've got them. If folks don't want to just wait to hear about the Colorado River issues, there are places to go on your website.
Our website is fantastic. You can just search your keyword, and you will get directed right where, you know, hopefully right where you want to go and get the information.
Karen Caesar, always a pleasure. The representative from Pima County on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Great to see you, Karen.
Bill, again, always glad to be here, and we'll see you in the fall.
See you in the fall. Thanks very much. We'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Yeah, it's unusual to have a high in the lower 90s, but look at the temperature over in Silver City. It's cooler over there, mid-70s to upper 70s in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive. We highly recommend it as a getaway. Check out southwestnewmexico.org before you take the road trip. All the planning you need, what to do, lots of activities, many outdoor recreation activities. Great places to stay and dine as well. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. Well, following a comprehensive and competitive international search, Dr. Ed Martin has been named the Associate Vice President and Director of the University of Arizona's Cooperative Extension. Dr. Martin brings more than 30 years' experience as an irrigation specialist to the role at a time when Arizona growers and communities, as we well know, face unprecedented challenges in water conservation. Ed Martin joining us now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Martin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. And yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. This is a very important position. Many people are not aware of the University of Arizona's Cooperative Extension. It really goes back quite a ways, doesn't it, sir?
Yeah, the Cooperative Extension is actually part of the nationwide land grant system. And the University of Arizona is the land grant university here in Arizona. It started back in 1914 with the Smith-Lever Act. And basically, the Cooperative Extension's mission is to bring the research and the science of the university into the communities across the state of Arizona. And so we work with the researchers at the university, and we have offices in all 15 counties, and we have offices on five tribal lands in Arizona. And we bring that research and science into the communities, and then the issues and problems that our communities are facing, we take them back to the university and help work with them to help us solve those problems.
And this is quite a footprint. You've got 650 employees statewide.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. We've got folks, like I said, in all the counties, and it's quite a big operation overall. We have programming, Bill, in the area of agriculture and natural resources. We do work, and people might be familiar with the 4-H youth development, and we have that program as part of Cooperative Extension. We have our family and consumer health sciences with nutrition and family and early childhood development support. And then, as I said, we also have our tribal extension programs.
Yeah, you don't normally think of agriculture being involved with early childhood vision, hearing, and dental screenings, financial literacy education. Of course, there is the agriculture component with agricultural resource. And as you mentioned, 4-H youth development is so very important for our young people, Ed Martin.
Yeah, no doubt. And it is kind of, the Cooperative Extension is quite comprehensive in that. And so we do, originally back in 1914, it was, home ec bill and the ag and natural resource stuff, working with growers and farmers and the youth back then as well. But as you can imagine, the programs have changed over the years and have expanded. And, we're looking at different ways to help improve people's lives and their communities throughout the state. And as, as our population demographic changes, we change our programming. So, yes, we have 4-H youth, and yes, we still have kids show animals at the fairs like they used to all along. But we also have underwater robotics and entrepreneurship and different programs like that for the kids.
Well, it's a large portfolio, and how do our listeners get involved? I guess they would go to take part in the Pima County cooperative education.
Yeah, definitely. They're in Pima County. Actually, it's right by the Campus Ag Center there. And on Campbell, there's a Pima County Cooperative Extension website you can go to. There's opportunities for you to volunteer if you would like, or just go visit the office and see the different programs that are available. And like I said, for those that are outside of Pima County, there's county offices all across the state. So go visit your local office and see what they have to offer and see what interests you.
Do they have quite a bit of information on gardening for folks?
Oh, that's a huge program, Bill. Our Master Gardener program across the state is really huge, and we have a lot of volunteers that help, planting the right plant at the right place. I myself came from Michigan and moved out here to Arizona back in 1992, and found out that, I can't plant at the same time and the same plants that I used to back in Michigan. The weather's a little bit different out here.
How about economic development, Ed Martin? What kind of development are you? What's one of your goals for this program?
Yeah, we're looking to try to help folks, especially in the rural areas, retool. Economic development, we're looking at doing internships for folks, giving them the opportunity to try different occupations and see what fits for them. We have also internships for kids, and then apprenticeships for the older folks, and then of course we always have opportunities for them to try different things and work with different occupations and look to see what actually excites them and lights their spark.
How about water conservation for the homeowner?
I'm sorry?
How about water conservation for the homeowner, Ed Martin?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. We do have a program. Once again, that Master Gardener program is very big, and we talk a lot about the right plant in the right place using drip irrigation, xeriscape. We have programs like that, Bill, to definitely help you save water around your house, because as you may know and your listeners may know, a large percentage of the water you use in your home is actually in the landscape and is outside of your house, not inside your house.
All right. Ed Martin, who is now the Associate Vice President and Director for the University of Arizona's Cooperative Extension, where would you direct our listeners? Is there a website, Ed, that you would like to send people to, or what?
Sure. Yeah. So if you just go to extension.arizona.edu, all spelled out, that'll get you to the University of Arizona Cooperative Extension site. And from there, you can get the website to any of our county offices. And it also has information about all the different programs that we offer.
And as I always say, just Google, in case you didn't get that exact website. Just Google.
That's right.
University of Arizona Cooperative Extension,
Cooperative Extension.
Will get you there. Ed Martin, thank you.
That will get you there.
Okay, Ed Martin, congratulations on your new position. All the best to you.
Thank you so much.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, always doing such a great job engineering and producing our program, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. Be back in about 23 hours.